Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ventyr Hospitality Limited Q3 FY2025 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. The audio archive, transcript, financial statements, and other documents related to the quarter will be made available on the company's website. We have with us today the management team of Ventyr Hospitality Limited, presented by Mr. Ranjit Batra, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Paresh Bafna, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Milind Wadekar, Executive Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations, and Mr. Kedar Shirali, Advisor, Investor Relations. Please note that Ventyr Hospitality Limited does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects management's outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. These risks are outlined in the second slide of the earnings update presentation available on the company's website. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Batra. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Batra.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the debut earnings conference call for Ventyr Hospitality, post our successful listing in December 2024, with a strong investor interest of over 10 times oversubscription. I would like to welcome the new shareholders to Ventyr family. I would also like to introduce Mr. Milind Wadekar, who joined the company and will lead corporate finance functions. He has over 30 years of experience in finance and hospitality sector, and his most recent stint was CFO of Chalet Hotels. We are very happy to have him on board. Welcome, Milind. Let me now take you through our performance and key highlights for the quarter ended December 2024. Our overall ARRs for the quarter was rupees 21,610, the highest amongst all listed hotel companies in India. Our hospitality business delivered a stellar EBITDA growth of 33% year-on-year, driven by 40% growth in Maldives EBITDA. Our consolidated EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 49%, translating to a year-on-year margin expansion of a robust 600 basis points. Our growth strategy is focused on value-accretive asset management and leveraging our long-term relationships with leading hotel operators to drive organic growth. We believe in our demonstrated development and acquisition capabilities to add hotels in strategic destinations. This, coupled with long-term tailwinds in the hospitality industry, will further propel our growth story. Let me walk you through a couple of macro hospitality updates before jumping into performance in detail. India has seen the highest-ever occupancy and ARRs in the luxury and upper-upscale segment at 69% and over 12,000 rupees. Our positioning as a luxury and upper-upscale hotel company has helped us fully benefit from this shift in demand patterns. Maldives continued its leadership as top global leisure destination with a 9% growth in tourist arrivals in 2024 versus last year. This year was also the first time when Maldives crossed 2 million tourist arrivals. Ventyr's portfolio will benefit the most from the infrastructure upgrades to Pune Airport and the brand new airports, both in Maldives and Navi Mumbai. Let me take you through some of the operating metrics for the quarter. Starting with India, in line with our strategy to ramp up occupancy, we achieved a 3% growth in occupancy and a 12% growth in RevPAR in this quarter. Second, we've achieved a superior 9% growth in ARRs compared to 5%-6% growth in the market. Third, we excelled with a record performance in some of our key assets. Ritz-Carlton Pune continues to enjoy its leadership as the number two business hotel amongst all Ritz-Carlton in the Asia-Pacific region, Ritz also achieved its highest ever monthly revenue and RevPAR in November. Yokio, the flagship Japanese restaurant in Ritz, featured in the Condé Nast Travelers as a top 50 restaurants in India. JW Marriott Pune is rated amongst the top 5 business hotels in the country. In this quarter, JW recorded an impressive F&B margin improvement of 600 pips compared to the same quarter last year. Aloft ORR in Bangalore achieved its highest ever ARR and RevPAR in November 2024. Our overall F&B revenue grew by 12% in our hotels compared to the same quarter last year. Our award-winning F&B offerings continue to their dominance in their respective markets, with 6 of our restaurants featuring in TripAdvisor's top 10 list in Pune. Moving to the white sands and clear blue waters of Maldives. As you know, our assets have gone through comprehensive refurb in calendar year 2023, repositioning them in the uber luxury space, due to which we've achieved EBITDA growth of 40% with margins improving by 700 pips on year-on-year basis. Anantara achieved its highest ever EBITDA margin in December. On the F&B front, Conrad witnessed a 500 pips improvement F&B margins in the quarter compared to the same quarter last year, with a special mention to Etha, Maldives' first underwater restaurant that we have in the Conrad. Lastly, we are happy to report our newest asset, Raya by Atmosphere, launched in July 2024, is ramping up exceptionally, and I'm very pleased. Raya turned EBITDA positive in October, just 4 months after its opening into operations. This EBITDA uptrend continues during this quarter and improves margin month on month. Let me give you a little update on our growth pipeline. Moving to our development pipeline in Varanasi, Bangalore, and Sri Lanka, we continue to make progress and will update you over the next couple of quarters. In addition, we have around 500 crores of liquidity to fund our new greenfield or brownfield opportunities as and when they present themselves. A little bit on the future outlook. As mentioned before, Venti will greatly benefit from the airport infrastructure upgrades in Navi Mumbai, Pune, and Maldives. There is no new luxury supply in Pune in the near term, which will continue to benefit the Pune assets. The fresh refurb in our Maldives assets and the ramp up of Raya will continue to drive robust growth in our portfolio. We'll also benefit from the seasonal tailwinds in Q4. We foresee strong MICE activity driving demand for conferences, exhibitions, and social functions. The wedding season peaks in Q4 with most of the number of weddings compared to any other quarter. Domestic tourism is seeing continued momentum backed by infrastructure development and more aspirational travelers. International tourism is also expected to expand in Q4. I would now request Paresh and Milan to take you through the IPO updates and financial performance for this quarter.
Thank you, Ranjit. Good morning, everyone. Let me share a few key updates post our successful listing. Firstly, on the IPO, we raised ₹1,600 crores of primary capital to pay down debt and thereby create new growth avenues for sustained value creation in the coming years. As per our business plan, we have utilized ₹1,400 crores for repayment of debt at our Indian entity and Maldivian subsidiaries. Out of the 1,400 crores, we utilized ₹800 crores to partly pay down our external borrowings in the Maldives assets and refinance the balance loan, thereby achieving 210 basis points reduction in average cost of borrowing in our Maldive entities. This translates to approximately ₹15 crores additional savings in finance costs for a Maldive entity annually. As a result, our balance sheet remains healthy with a net debt of ₹1,732 crores with cash and cash equivalents of around 373 crores. I would now request Milind to take you through the company's financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Rajiv. Thank you, Paresh.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be part of Ventyl. Before I delve into financial performance, I would like to highlight that the acquisition transaction took place in August 2024 and few entities were added to the portfolio. Consequently, the financial statement for the quarter and 9 months ended 2024 are consolidated, taking into consideration the financial statements of subsidiaries, whereas the result for the previous year are reported on a standalone basis and hence are not truly comparable. The information presented in quarterly investor presentation is prepared based on pro forma financials for the comparative period. That is, the numbers presented are assuming all acquisitions were made in previous years. Coming to the financial performance for the quarter, our consolidated revenue and EBITDA stood at rupees 566 crores and rupees 278 crore for the quarter respectively, and witnessed a growth of 15% and 31% as compared to the same quarter last year. Our hospitality assets performed strongly with 33% EBITDA growth year on year. The segment witnessed a remarkable performance with 40% and 27% EBITDA growth in our Maldives and India hotels respectively. Our annuity assets reported a stable 95% occupancy on 3.4 million square feet office space. Our overall EBITDA margin stood at 49% as compared to 43% in quarter 3 FY24. I would like to highlight that we saw margins improving by a robust 700 bps in our Maldives hotels and 400 bps in our India hotels, primarily because of efficiency in managing costs, optimization of F&B margins, and gains due to additional operating leverages on the back of occupancy and ramp-up across our assets. We have also implemented strategies like cluster procurement and platform-level vendor negotiations to further rationalize cost. We are also increasing our reliance on renewable sources of energy and optimizing teams to improve our manpower ratio. We believe this will prove to be further advantages in improving margins going forward. Going ahead, we believe that our strong balance sheet, supported by low leverage and robust cash flow generation, will enable us to pursue our growth strategy. With this, we are happy to move to question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from line of Mohit Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the entire team on listing and a very good quarter. I have three questions. My first question is, I understand that you've said that, you will not give a guidance in your opening remarks, but just trying to understand, from a full year fiscal 25 perspective and some color on 26, considering that we are already halfway through the fourth quarter, how are the trends looking like? If I look at your last year numbers shared in your RHP, DRHP, it seems that the fourth quarter numbers are a pretty meaningful part of your full year numbers. So does the trend continue in this fourth quarter as well? And how are you seeing the quarter shaping up? So some color on that, even some directional color would be very, very helpful.
Well, it's Milind here. We don't give forward-looking numbers. But we can give you some color on quarter four. I request Ranjit to come in.
Yeah, as you know, traditionally Q3 and Q4 are best performing quarters, and it is the same for Vantive Hospitality as well. We performed stellar numbers in Q3, and I am very confident of the same trajectory going forward. There is no reason. We have many more accelerators in our portfolio that will make sure that we are moving in the right direction and continue to do so, not only the next quarter, but also FY 2026.
Okay. Directionally, you think fourth quarter should be similar to third quarter, or should it be better than that? If you could give that color.
It's a little difficult to give you forward-looking indications, Saurabh. I wish I could, but things are looking positive. We expect the trend to continue. No material change. Maldives, January to March, is the best quarter, and we expect to remain the same.
Okay. Okay. Understood. My second question is on your newest asset, the Raya Hotel in Maldives. If you could give some color on operationally, how has been the first 9 months, and when do you expect it to be EBITDA breakeven and PAT breakeven? Some color on that.
Sure. As you know, Panjsheel has built this asset, and we opened this in July 2024. It was not an easy task to build a resort in the middle of the ocean. It is a big achievement from our perspective to deliver a fantastic resort. What we have is further good news. It's in 4 months, we've actually gone EBITDA positive, which is quite rare in our business in Maldives, especially because the ramp period in Maldives is fairly longer compared to any other market because of the way the nature of one island, one resort concept is. You have to have a lot of fam trips, and you have to have a lot of confidence between the operators and wholesalers to actually send you business. This is where our concept of all-inclusive, which is the concept Raya is offering to our customers, is super successful, mainly because of our partner, Atmosphere. Atmosphere is a dominant player, or most successful player in the all-inclusive market in Maldives. It has 11 resorts in all segments, including luxury, in an all-inclusive concept. Also, just to let you know, Saurabh, this is one of the fastest-growing leisure offerings in the world, the all-inclusive. We are in the right place, right product, right time, and we have gone operational positive in the fourth month alone. We are positive by 10 crore, and our occupancies are above 60% for Q3.
Okay.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, sure. My last question is something on the you've mentioned about that you'll be growing both in the India and the Maldives market through inorganic acquisitions. Any sort of pipeline or any target that you have in mind internally that you'll be tracking, and any sort of guidance you want to give on over the next 2 to 3 years, what is the kind of pipeline you are seeing in terms of inorganic acquisitions? Yeah.
Like you know, our organic EBITDA grew itself from existing assets by 31%, which is very healthy. From 2019 to 2024, we've actually doubled our portfolio, out of which the growth has been mainly outside Pune. We intend, in the next 3 to 5 years, we intend to replicate the same pace going forward. We are very clear on our growth strategy and how we're going to reach that. We've already proven that in the last 5 years.
It will be both in India and Maldives markets?
We will focus on existing geographies in India, and given the right opportunity in Maldives, we are open for consideration, but most of our growth efforts are concentrated in India alone. We'll continue on capitalizing our capabilities on building assets, acquiring assets, repositioning, rebranding, refurbishment. Yes, that's our focus.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot. Those were my questions, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Murtuza Arsiwalla from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. Congratulations on the improved operational performance. Just to get a sense, you know, if you could give us some more color in terms of both Maldives and Pune, you know, in terms of the occupancy, more medium-term trajectory on how you see the occupancy improvement further from here on. You know, Maldives at 59%, India at about 64%. I'm sure you would have more sort of targets to achieve and further improvement in occupancy. If you could give us some color around that as to how that would sort of come about, that's one. Second is on the growth pipeline, on the under construction sort of properties, if you could give us some color on how they are progressing, some data points on CapEx already incurred to be incurred over the next 3 years, you know, how it's going to be staggered. So those are my two questions, really.
Thank you, Murtaza. Regarding your second question, let me take that first. Regarding our growth pipeline, we are on track as per our budgets and schedules. We have already engaged with our key consumers, and we are in phase of licenses for assets under development. These are for Varanasi and Sri Lanka and Bangalore that you are referring to. Regarding your color on the occupancies and the trajectory going forward, both in Pune market and in Maldives, we intend to show the Maldives, both Conrad and Anantara clocked occupancies around 50 to 59. Overall, India occupancy has been around at 64. For our big box hotels in India, JW Beds, we've been around 61, 62. And this will continue going up. I can emphasize a little bit more. We actually, our endeavor is always to maximize RevPAR rather than occupancies per se. This has been our constant strategy. Just to emphasize, our hospitality ADR was around 21,000, highest, like I already said, highest in the industry. And our RevPAR around 14,000, also highest in the industry against our peers. This is also reflective in our EBITDA growth and margins. So this is where we are. And our story has always been in India ADR driven, where we've seen an increase of 9%. Also important is to note that we make efforts to maintain our premium positioning while we drive our ADR. So this strategy has helped us reach our double-digit growth of 12% in RevPAR. That's pretty much what we do. And in Maldives, we follow something called TRevPAR because that's more appropriate in Maldives. The total revenue per available room, because of the nature of Maldives, Mustafa's, there is a one island, one resort concept. So we end up capturing incidentals, F&B, etc. as well, over and above the room revenue that we capture. So our RevPAR growth is very, very healthy in Maldives. It's at 11%. So I think that these are great numbers and great trajectories. I hope I'll be able to give you flavor. And
Just one clarification, the Maldives KPI numbers include Raya also, right? Because Raya is being considered an associate. So just wanted to be sure that the operational numbers include the entire set of portfolio, right?
Mustafa Melidia. So
yeah.
Raya, we have Raya operational numbers, we are not included. Raya is joint venture, so as per standards, we considered sharing.
So when you put the Maldives KPIs in the presentation, that is X Raya?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I just assumed it's inclusive.
Thank you, Mr. Murtaza.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Coming back to the operational number, you mentioned...
Achal, sorry, your audio is not coming very clear. Can you speak through the handset?
Just a sec. Is it clear? Is it better now?
Much better. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. On the operational numbers, on the occupancy levels, your occupancy in Indian hospitality sector, you had about 64%, which is well below the industry. What's the issue there? And then, of course, you mentioned that you have a high focus on ARRs or RevPARs, but then if your ARRs are already about 22,000, how far these ARRs can go? And then especially if I compare with some of your peers like Indian Hotels, I mean, they had an ARR of 20,000, which is quite comparable to yours, but their occupancy levels are up there 78%. Your occupancy levels are still well below. What's the issue, and how do you see going forward? What kind of growth you see? I mean, even if you're focused on RevPAR, how far you think you can go? Given 22K is already very high. So that is my first question. Secondly, in terms of growth, you mentioned that you have a high focus on India market, but within India market, you have a significant presence in Pune, and looks like Pune is a market which is not a pure leisure market, is a bit of a business market. But now, do you think you will try to diversify and look around in the other markets? And have you found any interesting assets which you think you can target? Anything, any color on that? I mean, you mentioned that you have a growth pipeline, but you have growth in plan, but what exactly is going on there? And my final question is about your USD dollar denominated debt. You have 78 million. You mentioned you have 78 million debt. INR is depreciating very, very fast, very rapidly. So do you have any hedging in place against forex, or is it fully exposed to the market? Can you please help? Thank you.
Hi, I'll try to remember all three questions very quickly. I think your first question was based on ADRs. Yes, we have high ADRs, but let me break it into two. Our Indian ADR is 11,200 plus. It's not 20,000. That's blended with Maldives. Maldives, like I explained before, we calculate RevPAR, which is above 70,000 rupees, which is again very healthy. So you have to see these differently. So there's plenty of room to grow, to answer your question. The second question was regarding growth. We have a very clear strategy, and I think your question was about going out of Pune. So while we have our existing focus in India, and that is the way we are going to go forward, we will target big box hotels with chunky EBITDA, looking at the YOC thresholds that we have. This opportunity could happen anywhere outside. We are not made up our mind that we are only going to go in a particular destination or geography within India. So that's our strategy. We are already building Varanasi, Sri Lanka, and we are doing a conversion in Bangalore with the Aloft, as you would know. And that's our strategy.
Achal, let me come
third on. Question that Minad will answer.
So, Achal, we have around 77.2 million US dollar denominated loans. Now, if you see, we have natural hedge there. I mean, all our income and expenses, income we earn in US dollars, right? Our repayment obligations are in US dollars. So we have natural hedge there. So there is no exchange fluctuation risk to us. I hope this clarifies.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
With the dollar appreciation, our revenue goes up, and it's benefiting us in terms of our EBITDA.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Adidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is on our Maldives, our source markets for demand, which could help us understand across the markets like EU, the US, Russia, China, and other markets. How have the demand patterns changed over the course of this calendar year, and where is the incremental demand coming from? And a second part of that question is because of the whatever currency fluctuations we are now seeing in USD, right, vis-a-vis other currencies. Now, just help us understand how the demand would get impacted positively or negatively in terms of our pricing. Yeah, that is the first question.
I think, Maldives, if you see the Maldives history, it's not really reliant on a particular feeder market. So it's very well hedged. There are many, many geographies that contribute both through long-haul and short-haul flights. The connection to Maldives is fantastic. We have over 90 flights, over 34 destinations. There is a huge contribution of Europe and for off-season Asia that actually kicks in. So rest of Europe still remains as number one contributor towards the Maldives business, followed by Russia, and UK, Germany, and US being very strong markets, India also coming up quite strong. So yes, Maldives is quite resilient to most of the ups and downs. It's always shown great growth, and this is also further strengthened by the fact that Maldives for the first time crossed 2 million inbound tourists in the history of Maldives in 2024. China being number one, to give you the flavor, China is also bouncing back very strong.
Okay. So just a second on the currency things. Is there any thing to our pricing? How we price our Maldives, the currency movements, in terms of how we price our product across geographies to different customers? Can you help us understand how it works?
So, it is all dollar-denominated billing, and from our consolidation perspective, this currency fluctuation is net positive for us. We generate our substantial cash flows in U.S., and with rupee depreciating, it improves our profitability.
Okay. Sure. So just I have another question on our India hotel portfolio. If you could just help us understand the demand breakup between retail, corporate, and other categories. And if you could also help us understand pricing trends across these categories, like which category is doing better, and any repricing of corporate contracts, or we are focusing more on retail. Just some qualitative inputs. You may not be able to share exact numbers, but just some qualitative inputs if you could help us understand. Yeah. Thank you.
Our primary focus from segmentation of feeding markets or segments is basically we focus on non-qualified / retail. What we call in the hotel terminology is basically non-contracted rates. And I think that's a great push for the ADR story. That's our focus, primary reason for our RevPAR growth as well, which is 12%. So as per strategy, we continue to increase the non-qualified mix over other segments. That's one. And the ADR of NQ also remains about 50 to 60% higher than, special corporates, which is the contracted rates to RFP, which we negotiate every year as the industry in double digits. While the corporates actually give us a base occupancy, it is the NQ and further MICE and conference business that adds up over and above the weekend. That's our channel mix in India. If you wanted to know about Maldives is primarily based on wholesale business, but our focus there also is to go towards direct bookings and direct business to optimize margins, and we have been quite successful in that as well, both with Anantara and Conrad. Over and above, it would be important to note that the Bonvoy program, which is one of our biggest partners, Marriott, that we work with, also kicks in to help boost revenues and demand.
Okay, sir. Sure. That is very helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, kindly restrict to two questions per participant, and you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from Lanu Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have two questions. The first one being on the India hospitality side here. So the India RevPAR in Q3 has grown by 12%, right? And this was probably despite a low base of FY24 where the RevPAR growth seems to lag some of our peers. So from that perspective, I understand the occupancy still, there's a lot of room to grow on the occupancy side and all those things. But like from that perspective, how do you see this? The Q3 growth in RevPAR for us on a relatively low base compared to some of the peers.
Our RevPAR growth of 12% is actually the higher than the RevPAR growth for the quarter for India as such. So I think we've done fairly well the RevPAR. Of course, I agree with you, there's more room and headroom to improve, and we will continue doing that. But yes, over last year also, we had a good base, but like before I explained, we pushed our ADRs and we are continuing both on our only on our RevPAR story and strategy.
Maybe there's a difference because like some of the listed peers actually have grown at a higher rate in Q3 also. Second, on the Maldives side, we've seen a TRevPAR growth of 11%, and this was on a base of FY24 where overall the metrics in Maldives had actually contracted, right, or were flat. So do we expect this growth to accelerate? Do we expect this growth to continue? How do we read this?
I think I might have not understood 100%, but I'll try to answer. In Maldives, we have actually come out of a huge refurb and capex for both our assets, and that's why you're seeing a great numbers there, 40% in EBITDA growth. So this is just the starting of the play out of the plan where we actually pushed our product to a very high level and our services to very high level, and we are seeing great traction and great appreciation from customer base and great reviews as well. So this will continue. We've seen a great RevPAR growth in occupancy, and now we are seeing also the RevPAR in real absolute numbers going up.
All right, thank you and all the very best.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Rashmi Sharma from Summer Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning everyone. Am I audible?
Rashmi, your voice is echoing.
Am I audible now, sir?
We can hear you, but your voice is echoing, ma'am.
Sir, my first question is, some of the companies you recently acquired reported losses. When do you anticipate these businesses turning profitable and contributing positively to the consolidated balance sheet?
Rashmi, you are not very audible. Will you please repeat your question?
Rashmi, may I request to rejoin the queue, please? Thank you. Next question is from Nano Shivam Dave from Prodigy Investment Management. Please go ahead. Shivam, may I request to unmute and go ahead with your question, please?
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on the great set of numbers. I wanted some clarity on your acquisition strategy. So going forward, how do you, you know, what are the boxes that need to be ticked usually for a hotel to come as a target for an acquisition? And historically, you know, what was your funding methodology for the acquisitions that you've done in the past? And going forward, how do you intend to fund these acquisitions?
So let me answer on this funding methodology. I mean, we expect to generate free cash flow. And depending on the type of opportunity we get, location, micro market, demand conditions in that market, will decide about the funding, I mean, debt equity ratios. We are very comfortable with the free cash flows we are expected to generate in next few years.
To further Milan's point, I think we are very clear on our growth strategy by targeting regions or geographies. We are one of the most balanced. We have one of the most balanced portfolios both in business and in leisure, and we'll keep going in that direction. Given the right opportunity, we will work on the right acquisition. As you know, we have the capabilities of building assets, promoters being in the construction business, and now that we've delivered the resort in the middle of the ocean, I think we can build a hotel anywhere in India or acquire or reposition or rebrand. But yes, the threshold will still be the YOC, and we have our internal YOC thresholds, and the target will be big box assets with chunky EBITDAs. I don't think we want to go into sprinkling gunpowder and buying small EBITDA hotels and exhausting our bandwidth. Primarily, also, it's important to mention that we will grow through management contract.
Okay, okay, that's fair enough. The two hotels that's coming up, one in Varanasi and Sri Lanka. You've tied up with, you know, which MNC?
Okay, all three are actually, at this stage, I'm going to refrain from one, but Varanasi is clearly a Marriott. It's a Marriott hotel, and Bangalore is a conversion. Bangalore is a existing aloft by Marriott, and now we are converting it into AC by Marriott, which is a lifestyle brand, upcoming brand. We might be one of the first to actually come up with that brand in India, which is targeted especially for youngsters and fun and the IT market. So we're very happy with that brand, and I think Bangalore Whitefield area is going to see something great coming up for all the customers, and I'm very proud that we can actually do a great refurb on that asset to show the entire turnaround.
Right. And these should start contributing from which year?
At this stage, it's on time, but I think to give you an idea, it should be FY28.
FY28. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Anuj Kashyap from A3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
So, I wanted to know, is there any purposeful strategy from our side to draw in more retail customers and to boost the F&B revenues, like advertisement and digital space and something?
I think we have a very healthy contribution of F&B. I think 80% in Pune market is F&B contribution from outside the hotel, which means the feeder market is a city itself and it's not in-house capture. So that is very, very healthy. And, you know, one of our success stories for Ventiv Hospitality has always been F&B. We understand F&B. We deliver high quality with top trends, global trends that we incorporate. And that's, you know, has immense indirect benefits to things like social events, corporate events, and MICE. We are on top of that game. At JW itself, we managed to raise F&B revenue by 18%. So that is great. This was the 6 mega corporate events that we held. And
Mr. Sir, just to add in this, are you planning some like drawing in more influencers and all, so that the youngsters, you can tap on the young booming market who are wanting to explore the restaurants and all. Is there any strategy for that?
Yeah, influencer marketing is great. I mean, I personally believe in the power of social media and marketing, but this is more relevant for Maldives. I think in Maldives, the influencers have great leverage for example, we have the Michelin chef in Conrad, in the, Jeremy Leung, which has got great following. And we continue doing that on time-to-time basis, more so in Maldives and our upper upscale and luxury assets. Yes, we do that.
And sir, one more additional question I want to ask is, like, the type of bookings, like the retail booking for the hotel, for the hotels, are we what is the percentage we are drawing it from, from online sales or we have on our digital stack in place, like our own app and something? We have that stuff. Hello.
I'm not able to understand the question. It's not.
Sorry, sir. I'll repeat it. I'll put it in more straightforwardness. So the reservations we are drawing in for the hotel, how much percentage is from the online channels, and what is the or do we have our on digital stack like app, something in place, so that we can monitor the data and we can so we should know that what is our repetitive customers we are drawing in.
So to answer your question, our retail bookings in India are above 40%, which is very, very healthy. This is mainly powered by also the Bonvoy program, which encourages you to do direct bookings with the hotels. Apart from retail, we have the OTA, which is significantly lower at around 10%. That's where we have. And we have about 25% of repeat clientele in Maldives, which is, again, very healthy matrix.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Nano Rashmi Sharma from Summer Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead. Rashmi, may I request you to unmute and go ahead with the question, please?
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. My first question is that some of the companies you recently acquired reported consequently losses. So when do you anticipate these businesses turning profitable and contributing positively to the consolidated balance sheet?
Rashmi, this acquisition transaction happened somewhere in August 24, and the losses were mainly on account of high leverages these entities had. Now we have refinanced most of these entities with lower cost of finance. The cost has come down by 210 bps. So we are also, our asset management teams have started working on various operating leverages as well as cost optimization. So going forward, we see, these entities will be EBITDA positive. We are already EBITDA positive. We expect these entities to turn PBT positive in quarter or two.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I just want to know that can you please reshare the liquidity you earlier told in the opening remark for the greenfield opportunity, something like that?
So, Rashmi, we have cash equivalent on balance sheet of around 373 crore rupees there. Unutilized OD limits. All put together, we have 500 crore rupees funds available.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, at TCPPL level, what is our EBITDA contribution and what is the net debt at TCPPL?
At ECPPL quarterly, I mean, share of minority shareholders is around 35 crore rupees for quarter. And net debt is around 400 crores on that entity.
The total net debt is around 400 crores. And the EBITDA contribution is how much for the quarter? Could you repeat that number?
It's around 35 crore rupees a quarter.
So 35 crore is the total EBITDA?
Yeah. 35 crore is their share.
Okay. Okay. So that includes both the Ritz-Carlton as well as the Business Bay.
That's right. That's right.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Achal, just to clarify further, 70 crore rupees is EBITDA from that entity total, and our share is 50% of that.
Thank you. So next participant is Achal Kumar from HSBC.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for another opportunity. Just one question I had. You mentioned that you have a lot of headroom for further growth. At the moment, I think your net debt to EBITDA is about 2. How much you think you can grow? I mean, how much you think you have the headroom, and where, at what level you think you'll not be very comfortable? So, until what level you can go in terms of net debt to EBITDA or leverage?
Our net debt today is around 1730 crore rupees. Now, if we leverage our earnings, EBITDA of annuity assets, I mean, if I take 6.5 times of annuity EBITDA, I mean, we virtually at consolidated level, we don't have any debt, right? So, 2 to 3 times net debt to EBITDA, we can go up to. I mean, we don't want to give forward-looking numbers, but I mean, if you look at my quarterly numbers and build your model, I mean, we have big headroom for the growth.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, we now conclude the conference. On behalf of Ventiv Hospitality Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.